Begin.
Ring a ding ding. Good morning.
Morning. Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
I've been busy. I mean, not that's new, I suppose, but been doing my 2-shift day job, night job thing. Staying up late on kind of Midwest time and I never got off of it, apparently.
Software by night, chips by day.
Yep.
Sick.
Yep. Hardware, software.
Good. You having fun?
Yeah. Yeah, I mentioned it last week, I think, but that Shopboard thing I posted got a pretty sizable reaction on Instagram. Can I say that here, or we were just messaging about it?
Can't remember.
I just didn't expect people really would care about it. It seemed like something Justin would like, you know, like I have weird niche interests. But I posted an Instagram reel that I didn't even think was very well edited or put together. And I did a trial of, you know, how you can do trials. And I've been doing those. And usually it's pretty fruitful for telling you if it's going to succeed or not. And it did terrible. And I was like, whatever, I'll just post it anyway. Post it anyway. And it immediately started getting likes and comments, but the views weren't really going up much. And I woke up in the morning and had like done 10,000 views, which isn't even that many yet, but the engagement has been crazy. Like thousands of saves and shares, which seems to really drive the algorithm to keep sharing it. So I basically went from, maybe I'll just open source this to like, we're going to roll this into Airshop now. So I've been converting it and making it ready to do that, which has been my night job.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So I glanced the landing page the other day. That's good.
Turned out pretty nice.
Yeah. I like how one reel's got like 140,000 views and the next one has 643. It's like, yep. Thank you, Instagram.
Does it really have that few? I thought it was like 8,000.
This is the aluminum.
Something like that. The aluminum is like a 17-minute live video. That's ridiculous.
Oh, is that what that is? Right. Okay.
Yeah. That was for my trip.
Right. Yeah. I wonder, like, because the trial feature feeds it off to people who aren't your followers first, right?
Mm-hmm,
just to get a little dab.
It abuses them.
Whereas this is like prime Justin follower bait, the Shopboard. It's like nom nom nom.
It is, and I think it started that, which is kind of funny. But like if I go look at the engagement, it's 7% followers. You know, I don't have 100,000 followers. Yeah. So. But yeah, that engagement is just, it has 143,000 views, which isn't, I have video, you know, we both have videos with millions. And you kind of get nothing for most of those, you know, like they don't. Having the engagement's kind of low, like not a ton of comments sometimes. And it's just like 2,000 saves, 1,100 shares.
Yeah, that's where the good stuff is.
Right.
Yep. Awesome.
So people are, excited about it. And
cool.
That was fun, like to have something that people were like, this is great. I've been wanting this. And it's all types of industries too, like automotive and fabricators and house builders. Yeah, it's an interesting mix.
So you're just going to be the Raspberry Pi support guy from here on in?
Yeah, that's it. It's going to be fun. Especially when they become obsolete soon. Nobody can get them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how about you? How are you?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. What's happening at this end? Pretty short week again. Laura's in the thick of her commission at the moment, so I'm still doing shorter weeks. And then kid swapping, as in, you know, we take turns being the sort of primary kid dropper offerer and picker upper.
Oh, you're not swapping your kids for somebody else?
No, I mean, you know, sometimes that would be beneficial, wouldn't it? No. Yeah, so short week, kind of just doing 3 days, really. officially.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been pretty boring, quote, focused days, to be honest. Not much else going on. Although we did have a surprise visit from WorkSafe, you would know as OSHA. In your part of the world.
I like that you know what that is, how you know what OSHA is, because I didn't know what WorkSafe was.
There's probably more memes about OSHA than there are about WorkSafe, my friend. That was good. We've second time, had them visit once in Melbourne when we were there, and that went pretty well. And then, they rolled in the door, and I did my standard response to these surprise visits where it's just like, make them feel welcome, make them feel like, you know.
Do you like a cup?
Humans, yeah. And just be sort of enthusiastic and open and like, yeah, which I am. Like wanting to learn, obviously wanting to have a safe workplace. I think these guys probably deal with a lot of shit when they roll into certain industries or workplaces and get maybe not treated very well.
Like vests on.
Thankfully not.
Not there, I guess.
Not here, but yeah. So yeah, it all went pretty well. And like I've got four reports. There's four things we have to do. We've got a month to do them. They're all pretty minor.
Mm-hmm.
Like the main sort of, you know, thing that you might expect, like some machine safety thing that they picked up on, was that the interlock on the pencil sharpener wasn't working.
Suspicious.
It had failed some time ago. It never used to have an interlock. I mean, it never even had an enclosure originally. At some point, we added a door interlock, and then later the door interlock stopped working. So there's a couple of things. The main bit the only bit that I was a little bit nervous about was the robots, which are not yet caged.
That surprised me.
Yeah, but I, you know, we had a good chat about them, and I sort of explained where I'm at with them in terms of the commissioning process and still writing programs and running them really slowly and blah, blah, blah.
They care about that though? Like the soft knowledge? I feel like a work safe program, we don't give a shit. Like they're not safe kind of thing. You know, like I don't care if you're running them slowly. What if they run fast?
Yeah, and that was interesting. Like,
that's nice.
Two officers, and one of them evidently hadn't had much robot experience at all. He was just like, oh, they're big and scary. And the woman who was there was like, oh, I used to service these things. So she was super familiar in a previous job. She'd been an electrician that had worked on ABB industrial robots. Yeah, just had a good chat about them, and they were like, you know, cool, I'll send through some information for you about guarding and fences and like, so that when you get to it, you've got what you need.
Okay.
So
that's the part I think I was confused about, like that they didn't seem like you were going to need that or something. And I was thinking like, I thought it was always one or the other. It's like either cobot or guarding.
Mm. Yeah. No, ultimately they need them. And that, you know, that's been my plan. But yeah.
So yeah. 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 Right.
All went pretty well.
Cool. That's great.
Yeah.
And you had no idea, right, that they were coming? So you paid them off for next time, so you know.
I asked them about that. I was like, is it actually random? Do you just, you know, drop into any old business, just drive around picking whoever you like? And they're like, no, it's entirely project-based, like insurance.
A year in advance.
Insurance data, like, you know, there's injuries in certain industries. And so then the project manager will put a plan together of like, cool, we've already been to those workplaces where there are injuries. So let's take other businesses within that industry category and then put a plan together. So it's all very orchestrated. Just feels random. But
random to you. Yeah. And so like our fire inspections work. As far as I understand. Go on.
Who does that? Like your fire department?
It's just the city. Yeah, like a local city. Especially for being rated F for fire or whatever the hell we are. There's literally, I think we are rated F, and it's considered a dangerous industry because of fire risk, you know, with dust.
Yeah, okay.
I think that puts us on an inspection. I thought it was supposed to be every year, but then I haven't been here for a while. And it's always, the last, it's been one or two times. I wasn't here one of the times, just like incidentally. And Ricky was like, I'm always walking around saying like, no extension cord, because it's like stupid little stuff that they care about, like how you have extension cords on the floor or not. I don't think we've ever had a fine, I don't think. I don't know. Yeah. Pretty be careful, but yeah, they don't tell you they're coming.
Yeah. Cool.
What happened last time? I don't remember. I think it was long before we were talking. Oh, it was when we were getting our permit approved to move in here. We had like one small modification in the back, and so it went through this whole process with the city and the fire marshal inspector when they came to sign their part off. Everything was fine. He loved it. It was fine. And we talked about CNC stuff and it's very friendly. And then he was walking out of the garage door. And at that time, our parking lot was an older asphalt. And there was like a 3-inch drop off the driveway. And he's kind of walking out backwards, like, have a good time. And he tripped and almost fell. And like, I was like, I think that's maybe how I got with the landlord to improve the parking lot. He replaced the whole thing. But I'll never forget that, like, look. And he was like a pretty young, it was just, you don't expect a 3-inch drop off of a garage door.
Oh dear.
Well, failed that inspection at the last second. Yeah,
straight to ER. I've dragged you away from the UMC this morning, this afternoon. What were you playing with over there?
Well, we've been on a tear of selling products, including pedestals. Sweet. And we've, for the first time since we launched them, I think it was 22, sold out and have back orders of...
Hell yeah.
I think it's one set right now, but we've almost always stayed ahead and had stock. Like, never like a ton, but they don't sell that fast. It's like maybe two sets a month if we're lucky. And we've had quite a bit sell lately. So I was like, well, we need to get... And I was a little bit ahead of it. I saw it coming and I had to get some fixtures updated from Pearson Pellet. Like, basically I'm just putting the Lang studs on the bottom of Pearson pellets instead of the Pearson. So it's a male stud instead of a female receiver. And you can, I've found pretty easily do this. I've done a smaller one myself for a customer job that was an old pallet, and I did it in a vise and it worked great. My fixtures for the ATC bases are, it was like maxing out what I could do with a pallet size. I think it's 12 by 17, X and Y, Y and X. And so I don't have a way to hold that on the UMC. Like if I flip it over to the backside, so I'm machining the back, but pops in. So I had my friend in town, Andy, he's got this great little prototype shop. I don't mean to say little, it's just a couple of them.
Cute.
Him and another guy, but he's been actually killing it, and he put those holes in the back. He's got a vertical and he does job shop work, and he has he can put it on his table and cut the holes. So he did those for me like on a Sunday, which was super nice.
Threaded holes,
he put the holes in the studs. It's like a pocket with a drilled hole for each one, so I did four on each. It's very basic, but it had to be done.
Why can't you do
get
that?
Those back, I got to start.
Why can't you do that? Just wrapping my head around.
I don't have a way to hold them. They're too big.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like a chicken and an egg problem.
Chicken
and
egg thing, yeah.
I need the mother pallet to make other pallets, right? Back to that old problem. I'll come back to that. So he does this for me. And I asked him to do was just put those holes in the pockets. He killed it. He even sent me like videos mid-process. I was like, this is the best service ever. Like, you're sending me like inspection videos with like an indicator in his machine. I was like, do you do this for everybody? Cause this is great. And it came out perfect. I took, you know, my son over to talk to him that day and it was fun. He talked about him afterwards. He's excited to go over there. And I get back, I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. I'm going to put them on. And I put it on, fits perfectly, straight on the platter with the base. And so I was like, let's just do a quick probing just to make sure everything's what I expect it to be. You know, like you probe, you're seeing geometry versus CAD. And it was like between 32 and 46 thou off in Z. And I was like, and that was like opposing corners of the top of the palette. And I was like, that's not good. And I looked at CAD again. I was like, well, nothing should be off. It's aligned right. And then I had this like sinking feeling of like, oh my God, I needed to face the bottom of the palette so it's flat. Because when you do a Pearson palette, it doesn't get faced usually. It's just four precision pads. And if you buy them from Pearson, that's how they do them. If you do them yourself, like I usually would face the bottom because it was easy enough. But both of them were like that. So the entire thing is just like completely wasted that I had him do that. Just because I didn't think to say, hey, can you also face that while you got it sitting there?
Yeah, shit.
In another minute. So I spent the next couple times, I was basically an afternoon or so, and today I'm still figuring it up. I had a little boo-boo and messed up one of the holes, and I'm adding... I've got this, I put it, it's in attachments. You can see my ridiculous setup of the Kurt Weiss shifted backwards on the platter so it fits within the work envelope. Because I did figure out I could actually put one of them on in this like janky setup. So I'm just fixing the holes right now. But it was just stupid.
Oh my days, look at that setup.
All the way around. Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's coming out within like a thou parallel across. When I indicate it and even probe it, the edges are definitely, you can see some chatter, but it doesn't really matter because it doesn't actually touch anywhere. It doesn't create any imbalance way out there because it's off the platter anyway. So almost done with that one, but the mother palette still, I gotta get somebody else to do that. There's just no way. It's 13 by 18 or something like that. It's just way too big for me to put in anything.
What about the shop saber, mate? Can that deck it?
I considered it. I don't trust it. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it'd make a good video. That thing's worth a bit of money and the amount of time I put into it that I don't really. That's why I had Andy do it, because it's like, he's good.
Yep. Fair enough.
He doesn't make stupid mistakes like messing up one of the holes again.
Dang.
New UMC user here.
So what part is this holding up? What parts?
That's the ATC base fixture. The big, long, skinny parts that go down. It's a one and done. So you like put two op ones and two op twos in and they flip and you run it.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
This was kind of like the like check for me of like parts we already run. Will it work in this machine? And it should. I hope so. I haven't tried to run it, but I can face the bottom of it. So that to me means that I can cut enough of it when it's in use.
Yeah. Cool. I'm glad to hear things are selling well. The other night when I was texting you, you were on track to hit a record. Did you get there? Daily record?
Somewhere on between 40 and 50 bucks. I didn't do the final math. It's, the other day was our second best sale day ever.
Sick.
Product sales.
That's great.
Yeah, it was nice. Nice little run of finishing out the month pretty strong.
Awesome.
On the UMC notes, while we're here, and I'll be done with my stories of UMC, I was bitching about those skimmer belts and them being 150 bucks from Haas in a kit, and you can't buy the belt separate. And I was like, this is stupid. Somebody's got to have them. Well, Langerman Machine, who I message with quite a bit on Instagram, has a UMC 750 that's pretty new. Got it about the same time I got the 500. And so we've gone back and forth. And he's been like killing it, making these amazing brass like boat accessories often. So it's pretty fun to watch him make. They're very like organic. And he like reverse engineers old parts. And he's like, here's the part you need. And it was a McMaster number, and they are $5 apart for those skimmer belts for the Haas.
Yeah, what? That was going to be $160 or something.
Yes. $150 is what Haas wanted for one to two belts and some like gears that I didn't want.
Ah, okay, the other bits. Yeah, I had an eye-watering spare parts invoice this week. You know, you were chatting last week about, like, just bill me after whatever that supplier thing we're talking about.
Bill me later.
Bill me later. I had a bill me later situation, which when the invoice came through, I was like, oh, gee, that's rough. That spare part for a robot. How much was it? It died. SMB board. It's like a circuit. It's the circuit
small,
board
medium business.
Goes in the base of the robot that holds its like joint positions if the power goes down. Basically, it's like a little positional backup board. And one of the robots, right after it was serviced, like right after I had them all serviced recently, that weekend, it had an SMB board die. Took me a while to work out what it was, and they sent me a replacement one. Bearing in mind, these are all like 23-year-old robots, so it's like new old stock replacement board. And
this is too new for me.
Well, I think it's all old. You know, I reckon these boards are, I don't think it's actually new. I think it's come out of another robot at some point. I could be wrong. Anyway.
Yeah. Right. And they like scrub it a little bit.
Anyway, I can't find the invoice right now, but it came through. It was like $2,500 for like this little circuit board that I can hold in my, you know, about the size of my phone. Like, oh, God, yeah, I guess I needed it to get that robot working again, but far out. Ouch.
What about a Raspberry Pi?
I know.
It's probably more powerful.
I'm sure Raspberry Pi would be too powerful for it. Yeah.
I was going to ask you, related to that, was this the only outcome of your maintenance tech coming and looking at the robots? Was that...
But basically, they did. They checked the 18 oil reservoirs, six per robot. And they do like an oil.
A dipstick each.
They do an oil analysis on every one because then they pick up like if one of the gearboxes is in bad shape, it'll have like iron or you know crap in it.
Right.
So they check the oil type, they check the levels, and then they send them away to a lab for sample analysis. So that came back pretty good. I think there was one gearbox that didn't have any oil in it, and there was another one that had the wrong oil in it, but overall...
No oil!
I know.
Oh, my God.
And I'd noticed that joint was making some weird noises, so I'm glad they caught that. But, like, they didn't find anything... Like, one of the errors that I'd had them come out and visit for was, like, a short circuit error on joint 4 on Abby, which is our main sanding robot. And they didn't actually find anything that could have been causing that error, which I was a little disappointed in. I wish it was that simple. So, yeah, I don't know. It's good to have done it. I don't think I'd be spending that much every year on that service because it was pretty expensive, but...
What's the like total if the repair was only 2.5, or is that all of it?
No, just that replacement board was 2.5. I think the service was about 5.5.
Yeah, that's a bit.
So yeah, won't be doing that on the regular, but I guess good to have done it now, initially, 9 months or something into my robot story. So yeah. Yes.
Into your robot, my robot story.
The robot story.
The robot love story.
Yeah, I need to make more time for them. Poor robots.
I've been both enjoying and creeped out by the horse head on the, I don't know if you traded around, but that thing's like kind of haunting.
It was very haunting this morning rolling in with the office lights on. Staring out the door at me. Oh. I'll send it to you.
It would be pretty good if you had some kind of like little mode where they had their bases could move around like Roombas. And so you could start slowly like sliding around with its.
Be fantastic.
Hello, Jem.
Hello.
It's Marcy.
That's the dream is to tie them into my workshop security system. So like the ones in the shop are always on. They're never off. So like they could just be linked into Home Assistant and just be like, hello. When the door opens.
You need to make one of David's giant googly eyes above one of them. That's like every time it looks, it's like jiggling at you.
Yours.
I wonder if anybody's made a 3D googly eye so it like can move in 3D space above it.
That'd be cool. That'd be cool. I think the only sort of fun side project I did this week was making a dashboard for my new like ERP, my Airtable replacement, my job system, mission control. I made a spun up a dashboard of kind of all the features that I always wanted out of Airtable but never got. Not all the features, but some of the things. And
who does that?
A bit of a, I put it in the show note thing so you can see the screenshot of it. But it's kind of like a weekly sales tracker, but also it tracks like production capacity. So it's like shows, that second little graph is like shows which jobs are sitting in which weeks. And it was legitimately useful this week of like, cool, I can see next week's over capacity from a production point of view. We've got one of our guys is away next week. It's like, cool, which jobs can I reallocate, triage into the following week? And it's nice. It's good. It's pretty, pretty useful.
Is
little
it interactive
view.
In a way that you click something and you can see breakout data or?
Yeah, when you mouse over those little graphs, it shows you like job detail view, what the jobs are in each week and, you know, jobs, what jobs one sort of come up when you mouse over them and stuff. So, yeah.
And the database is local or still local. Feeding off of Airtable?
No, Airtable's done. It's all, locally hosted. My little Lenovo server.
Does anybody else use it at all? Or is it just on yours only? Or how does that work?
Everyone on the team can access it on the network. And John started using the workshop server as well to like load his little CAM programs that he's been making onto it. So John's been making some really interesting stuff. It sort of started with like the carton box maker stuff.
Yep.
For making custom cardboard boxes, but then he's added all sorts of other tools as well, like a custom DAL generator that sends files straight to the pencil sharpener and like a program called Offcut Eater where you can like give it a remnant or drop material and say how big it is and then select one of our like standard components that we need for products and that it'll like nest the CAM onto that offcut.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool. Yeah, but a whole bunch of stuff that basically just bypasses Fusion so anyone on the team can like spin up this little tool, plug in what they want, and it'll send the G-code straight to the machine. Pretty nice workflow.
And you're on the $20 cursor plan still?
John is, yeah.
Whatever it is in your...
I think I'm on the 60 at the moment.
Oh, so you have separate, I see. I was going to say, how are you both using
got
the $20
H.
plan? And like, nah. There's no way. $20 goes further there, apparently.
I have been very impressed with the Kimi K 2.5 or whatever that is.
Fast. I haven't seen a ton of limitations
zippy.
Yet. And they don't even have the 2.6. Their cursor's a little slower than the AI boys are getting models out. But I'd played with Kimi in the past. It's better now. And it is very fast. That's just restating things again. But
what have you been doing with it? Just general use stuff?
Just shopboard updates and
went
from refactored it from JavaScript to TypeScript so it's a little more appropriate for a thing used beyond our shop where I never really thought that shopboard was going to be like a thing. I thought it was just going to like open source and be like, here, try it out if you're interested. And then it was like the response was like, this would be stupid to let everybody just I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that's still, the goodwill is still there, but it's like after working so long on making a product like AirShop, it was like, well, this seems pretty appropriate and you know, now that maybe I didn't mention this, but part of that rethinking was somewhere down the line, I was going to try to feed stuff into it for our use from Airshop. Like the two things I thought of right now, there will be the primary. If you're an Airshop subscriber, you will get ChopWord free and included. And there will be like a live sync of, say you get an inquiry from off your website form on Airshop, it'll pop up. You can choose whether you want it to pop up or not on the ChopWord, as well as like if you have a one quote, you can have that pop up too.
Yeah, awesome.
We'll be able to. And eventually we'll do other things as we build out other features and get requests or whatever that is. Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. It's cool. Pleasing. Pleasing, pleasing. What else? What else? What else?
What else? I get too many things today. I almost closed. I almost pushed Command Q. I was close. Almost died right there.
Don't shut me down.
Oh, see. Before I left on my trip, I think I mentioned I was kind of fixing some wiring stuff, and I added I finally got Shelly to work, and I used to try to use it back in the days of SmartThings, I want to say, or like HomeKit. It was like 2019. It just did not work. I couldn't get them to adopt, but Home Assistant is just so good at this stuff. Like, it adopts them right away. They're super responsive, super reliable. So I got this Gen 4 version of a Shelly 1PM. I don't really even know what the hell all that stands for, but basically you can have like a 110 in and a 110 out, which here is like our normal lighting. And I think it goes up to 20 amps, maybe 15 amps. But I just wanted to control the lighting in the back of the shop where the UMC is versus the entire shop being on where our, you know, neighbor uses the rest of that shop, because we're really not there at the same times often. So it doesn't make sense to have all of the lights on. And so I got that to work. So when you go back there with a motion sensor, it turns on. And after so much time of inactivity, it turns back off.
Nice.
Like pretty flawlessly. And then the next step is I just need to mount it, but it works fine. I can turn it on and off from here with a little Lutron Pico remote. I don't know if you've ever seen these things. This is, Lutron makes the best smart things, smart IoT devices. They are so reliable. I've had one in my house, in my kitchen, this system for 3 years, and it's like basically never failed to push. Wow. And it works.
Amazing. Lutron Pico. Okay.
Really good. They're expensive, but they work. Which is cool. At this point, I'm kind of there. I'm just like, I'm not buying the cheap Chinese IoT device that, like, I've had too many of those in a box up there. They're just like junk that don't work. It's kind of fun.
Yeah. Nice. It's fun, that stuff. Very enjoyable.
It's fun that it just like works now. Like, it used to be, it was easier to set up on smart things. Like, you didn't have to do like YAML or all that. Creating unique like automation, a script, a scene separately. You can kind of just like almost like shortcuts let you just like more easily make simple UI things back in smart things. But, you know, that's dead. It was never reliable. It was always like the tease of it working, and they would like make some update, and it just never.
Yeah.
Always was breaking. So.
You've got one of those Home Assistant green things at home and at the shop now? Yeah. So you're running two instances. And
the app just lets you go back and forth.
Oh, you can switch between them.
It does. It should do it automatically, but it doesn't. So you just have to toggle at the top of the app in between.
I've wondered about that. Okay. I haven't successfully got two instances. Neither of mine are showing up in my phone app at all at the moment. I don't know why. But in theory, I've got... No, I need to set up that tunnel. You sent me that link for that way to like tunnel into... Right.
Yeah.
Is that what you're using?
Yeah.
The Cloudflare.
So good.
Whatever.
I only did that for one of them so far, but it works really well.
Yeah, I need to check that out because I currently neither am I standing up.
Right. What's fun about that is like when I want to work on this stuff is not during the day. It's like I'm at home and I'm like, oh, I want to fix that automation. And I can do that for the shop one at home. I was actually in Kansas, I think, and I fixed one little thing. I noticed like there's some other lights out in that shop that I was using before I got all the main lights hooked up that were powered by a smart switch. And they weren't automatically turning off with the other ones anymore. I'd like missed that step. And so like I updated it from Kansas. and I asked Ricky, I was like, are the lights going on and off right? Like as you would expect, because I like hadn't had time to test it before I left really. And he was like, yep, works great. It's amazing. Walk in, turns on. I was like, oh, so cool.
Awesome.
I definitely see the like, we'll see where we go with it. I don't want to make it. You get into these places where things are too fragile, but so far it's been really legit. And with having like the bamboo printers are a little bit wonky, but it dumps so much data from each printer in where like it's giving like live heat temperatures of the nozzle and the like each sensor is constantly getting like dumped in. And the one thing we've talked about, which would be kind of nice, is maybe I said this here, is to make like a little tower light concept so that like you can tell when not each printer but a printer is done theoretically. And it would be pretty trivial to do because they have an output, each of them, to say I'm done or I'm at 100%, and you would just toggle on a light that says
shoots up a flag.
We keep joking about having different sounds play, and I got a little Google Home to like play around with. Makes too many noises.
Hey, Google. It's so chatty.
And then I talk to it, it doesn't work.
Until you talk to it. It's like,
so it's just been sitting. I got it off eBay for $20, like used.
Sick.
Yeah, this will tie in though.
It's been on my sort of random shop project list for ages, is to make a tower light for like, I really want one on the pencil sharpener because it's in this plywood box and you can't, depending on, it's only like one vantage point in the shop where you can actually tell if it's running probably or not.
Right. It reminds me of the best comment I got of a lot on, I think it was Machining is Cool commented on one of the Instagram posts about the shop board. He was like, I just want the shop board so that I can tell when somebody's in the other shop in the bathroom or not, so I don't walk all the way over there. Perfect use. Why not? Just have like an emoji that's just like the poop emoji on the screen.
Bloop. Bloop, bloop. The other idea, as opposed to like a tower light that I had for the PS, was to just like put a TV on the outside on the back of it with a webcam feed just like through the plywood wall, so it's just like x-ray vision through the machine.
Yep.
So you can see it from the other angle.
Stats.
Yeah.
TV that's always on.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Beep. Beep boop.
Should probably go a little early today. I got too much to do.
But, do something useful.
I do have one more quick thought. This is just a shot in the dark, two shots in the dark. I've been thinking lately to try to get more help. You know, the more people you hire, the more like you're like, I should hire more people to do more things. This is great. And I've had this thought lately to try to find somebody to help with video editing. Because I film quite a bit of stuff and I think it's valuable to make more content. Hi, Stickly.
Hello.
Is this your face now?
Hello.
Got it. Gems. I have to go watch that.
Go to YouTube.
So the two things I'm curious about is somebody that can help me rough edit videos or even fully edit videos, what that might cost. I kind of did some quick searching, but I don't really have a ton of video editors in my life. I don't mind doing it. It just takes me too long. And like, I would rather put out more videos like on YouTube and not have to do every one myself. So that
anyway, nice one.
And then The other, I don't even know what to call it, but
I can tell you what's written in the
yeah, maybe you know. Maybe I need to hire you.
I've no idea what you're talking about.
We'll get to that. Something like an industrial engineer, like on a contract basis or like project basis, because I have a couple products that I'm just kind of like, I think I know what I'm doing and I think they'd be fine, but I think I can make them better or faster if I just had like a proper like person helping that could either knew or had understanding, and the specific products are like work holding related with like properties, materials, and
right.
So I don't know. I don't even know where to look for that. I feel like Upwork's a weird place to look for that kind of thing.
Just your network, man. You're well connected.
IANAE.
What does that mean?
I am not an engineer.
Oh.
Like ianal.
Yeah.
I think that's how you say it.
Nodding, smiling and nodding.
Not a lawyer.
You're well connected with manufacturing people. Come on, just call your mates.
I make shapes and colors. I don't know how to make maths.
You know how to pick up the phone, don't you?
Not really.
Don't you?
I don't know. This is what I'm saying. I don't know the right person to even call. Like, who is, if from your background, who would you hire that's like a more math-based or physics-based person for helping with product design? What is that called?
That guy. The guy, Tom.
Bill Nye.
The CNC guy in the.
Oh, I don't know that guy. He's really smart, and I feel like,
yeah, that smart guy. He sounds like a generous soul. Pick up the phone. I'm sure he'll answer.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know who you
need. Know what that's called or know somebody I can call. Please let me know. Please call now.
Excellent.
That's my thought for the day.
Yeah.
Do you have any requests for the request line?
Request line? What do I need? I need a massage. And...
Oh, God. I was just thinking that.
I still haven't trained the robots to do that. On the list. Cool. Go do something useful, man.
Okay.
Back to your machine.
I'm going to try and make good holes in machine in metal instead of bad holes.
Bill me later, hole. Daddy. Love it.
That's right. That's our new service. We're doing like a Klarna thing. It's called Bill me later, Daddy. Use it for whatever you want.
Good.
We can have that ready by next week.
Uh-huh. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Bill me later, they said. Bill me later, I dread. Bill me later, daddy. Harsh ones from 54, five book bill. Bill me later, daddy. McMaster's got the power right there on the shelf. Bill me later, daddy. Spare parts, sticker, sharp phone size, well. Bill me later, daddy. Manufacturing broke my health.
Bill me later. Me later, Daddy.